Today's daf is daf chaf tes. We begin the new parak Eilun Naros. The Mishnah begins Eilun Naros sheyesh lam knas. The following naros are women who get knas. What's the definition of nara? What's the knas that we're referring to here? So you look at the top. Rashi writes Eilun Naros dafka nara mishaviyah shtei saros. Only a nara girl when she gets shtei saros ad sheti abager until she becomes a fledged woman, I guess, at the age of 12. This is the 6 month period from the age she becomes naros at 11 and a half until bagros, until she comes to the age of 12. Vakatana, less than that, she's only tana ubogeris, more than that, ein lehem knas. The area, which we'll get to in a second, which knas is referring to, is a very small window of 6 months between 11 and a half and 12. It's when a person gets knas. What's the knas, says Rashi? Sheishlam knas im ansa adam, if a man was the ones her, no sein la via chamishim kesef kedichsev nasan isha hashochev gomer. If a man was ma'anes, a girl at this age, he pays the father 50 kesef. We'll get to what exactly that shear is. So the following are going to be situations of women who get knas for being nenas. So what are they? So the Gemisha says, haba al hamamzeres, al hanesina, al akus. Those three individuals are the first group. So you look at Rashi. Rashi writes, haba al hamamzeres. Rashi says, Begmar Park, Gemara is going to ask about Ksheris Lo, only by the someone, a woman who's possible, that's either an Asina or a Mamzeris Akusis, but someone who's a Kasher woman won't get Knas, doesn't make any sense. And Rashi quotes the answer, the Gemara, Mishani Psulos Itzirchle Lashmiyan. The Gemara is coming to teach us that Psulos, certainly Ksheris, such a girl from the age of 11 half to 12, certainly they're going to receive a Knas. The Chiddush of the Mishnah and this first grouping at least is the following Psulos also get Knas. The Gemara will address it. And before you go ahead, we have to define what exactly is an Asina and a Kusis. We know what a Mamzeris is. Mamzeris is a woman, a girl rather, who is who's born to a illicit marriage of Isser Misa. So that's a Mamzeris. But what's a Nasina? So Rashi tells us Nasina min ha-givonim, one of the Givonim, vihi asura lekahal, they're also to marry into Klai Yisrael, the David Gazer Alem. David made Gzera, Kedamin, Yivamos, those who remember, Al Shem Vayitnem Yeshua Chotve Eitzim Vishavi Maim. The fact that Yeshua appointed them, what happened was, remember the story, that they tricked Yeshua into being, they were certain they wanted to become Jewish, and they Yeshua found that afterwards, where they were supposed to, which, where were they from again?
They were actually right there.
So why Yeshua accept them and then say?
Because they came. They wore like very, very ragged up clothing and very, and they said that they're coming from very far away and they're not from there.
And they were not Eretz. If they're from Eretz Canaan, they have to be killed.
Right.
They came from. They claim they're from far away.
Right. They claimed and so, they pretended they broke. You know, made everything very, very old right. And used up.
So Yeshua said, "Oh, you must be out of town. Let's accept you as Gerim." Then they realized he was tricked. But once he accepted them as Gerim, he couldn't do it. Change it. So he appointed them to be the Chotvei Eitzim, the wood choppers, and the water drawers. And they're called Nesinim because Vayitnim Yeshua. Yeshua gave them. He appointed them in these positions.
Hashem That's what. Couldn't tell him.
What? Hashem didn't tell us to do everything.
Hashem wanted them to be, Chotvei Eitzim, and they needed them.
So, according to Rashi, it was a gzeir from David HaMelech, which is an iser, which is a status midirabanim. There's a long, long tosus. This first tosus here, tosus argues, and if you look right in the beginning, he quotes, Peish Bekuntris, the David Gazar Lam, Shalo Lavo Bekal, Hainim Shim Avdus, because they were Avadim now, Kidamrina Baharel. So, it was a gzeir from the times of David. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Ein Nir Rabbeinu Tam, the Hab Mashma Begemara later on, the Nesina Havya Daraisa, it's an Isser Midaraisa, and he goes on to prove all of this. We're not going to go through the whole Tosos, but there's a Machlokas, we see Rashi Tosos, whether Nesina is Asser Midaraisa or Asser Midirabanan. Right, so let's see if we can find the line here. If you look down in the Tosos, three wide lines down, it says Nir Rabbeinu Tam, a few words in. Near the Rabbeinu Tam, dinasina asura daraisa mishum lo tischatin. There's an issa daraisa not to marry within, and kidamasik rava beharel. Now you're not allowed to marry one of the nations of the seven nations of Eretz Canaan. You can't marry. The David lo gazar layu elo shiavod. The only gzera David made was they have to be enslaved. That's what he. But the issa to marry that already existed, and the issa. Even after they're megayer, there's still the issur lo tischatin ba. That's a big discussion. What lo tischatin implies.
The giyur wasn't a real giyur.
Well, it sounds like it may have been a real and that might be the question, Kol man de'avi rachmano lo savid ibahani. If you do something against the Torah, if it's going to be effective, so there's no issur to accept them as gerim. So I think the geris was a good enough geris. But there's a machlokas, the issur lo sischatein ba. You cannot marry one of the seven nations. Does that only apply when they are non-Jewish, or even when they convert, will the issur still exist? Tosas is under the assumption, assuming it's a good geris, that the issur lo sischatein still exists, and therefore it's a issur deraisa. Rashi, I think, called no. Lo sischatein ba only applies when they're begoyim. Once they convert, there's no issur deraisa. It was only a gzeira mi David Hamelach.
Nach, not considered a rice.
What?
Nach.
Nach, no. It's called divrei Kabbalah. It's a higher status than the Rabbanan, but lower status than Deraisa. Okay, so that's the definition of a Nisina. What's the definition of a Kusis? So Rashi writes, a Kusis, Kisavar Gere Arayos Hain, Machlokas and Yivamos and elsewhere, whether these, this area of called of Kusi, these Kusim, they were converted.
From
were they
Crete.
From Crete. Oh, that's from Greek? That's It's Crete. Greece, right? Isn't Crete next to Greece?
Yeah, it's like a...
Like that little island?
Crete is independent.
It's right below Greece.
Sancheri brought them. Because when he took
out... I didn't realize it was from Crete. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say.
I guess you're very worldly, you travel.
Rabbi Wine says it.
Okay.
It's nothing to do.
I have not heard the word Crete since, I think, ninth grade history.
Yeah.
Or the name. Okay. So, So Kusis, Rashi says, Kisavar Geri Arayosein, V'yeshin Balav Lo Sischatein. So this area, these people who came from Crete, apparently, so there's machlokas, the Gemara, whether or not they were considered forced conversions or they're really good conversions. So Rashi says there were forced conversions. Ger Arias, they were scared, the Lashon Aryeh, of the fear of a lion, they were forced into it, and therefore it was not a good geris, they were non-Jews. But according to Tosos, Tosos writes, if you go to look at Tosos al-Hakusis, he says, Perish Bekuntris, the Kusavar Kusis Ger Ariasen, the Yeshin Belav Losis Chatin, there's an Issa Deraisa to marry them. Vizel lefi shitasa, this is according to his general reasoning, kedesaka daitam meikar b'hariel, dibinachusan islay iser chasas, only when these people are non-Jewish is there an iser chasas, but once they convert, there's no longer an iser chasas, like we said above, according to Rashi. Umashi perish to kusara kusi geri arayos hein, lo nir, it doesn't make any sense, says Tosos, le rabbeinu Yitzhak ben Rivam, rabbeinu Meir, which is the Rivam, oftentimes quoted as. Dimkein, over the sechavimhi, if they're not converted, that means they're goyim. Look at the context of the mission here. The mission is talking about naros who get knas. This only applies to a Bas Yisrael. If Rashi says a kusis is a geri arayosein, they're not really converted. They're over the kochavim. There's no knas. And therefore, Tosus a few lines down switches it and says, no, we're really talking about a situation of geri emeshein. The other opinion of the Gemara Yivamos is that they were really good conversions and the kusis are really full-fledged Jews. Except they made certain takanas. For example, he quotes the Gemara Baba Kamba that if you damage the shore of a kusis or a kusi, you don't have to pay damage. Aren't they really considered Jewish? They are, but they made certain penalties to separate from them because they're slightly different anyways.
I think the end of the story is that everybody agreed at the end of the whole issue that they were not Jews.
Oh yeah, that's
I think
a conclusion?
It was the whole process. That for a while, they believed that they were, and then...
Uh-huh. So that much I don't
I'm
know.
Not
but,
sure either. I mean, that's what I.
Okay.
Not sure either.
I do know many places in Shas, whenever you have kusis, there's always machlokas. Which type of kusi is
right.
it? Gere Ariosain or Gere MSain? So this is another machlokas. Rashi tells us whether we're talking about a kusis here of the Kachavim, like, again, Gere Ariosain or Gere MSain. Sorry?
What is Ariosain?
With an Aleph, like an Aryeh.
No,
they were scared, they were forced into it, like a lion. It was intimidating.
No, what happened was that when they moved to Eretz Yisrael, they were attacked. By wild animals, and they felt that it was because they didn't have the god of the place, so they became Jews because of that. And then once they became Jews, the Arias didn't attack them, and then they stayed.
Because the lions attacked them.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that was the story.
Interesting.
Because they came, the Sanherib moved everybody around to make sure the land. When they took away the Aseret, the 10 tribes, it was empty, the land, so they brought people from other places.
Well, okay. Good thing we have you here. Okay, so so that's like another machlokas Rashi Tosos about the definition of akusis. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Haba aha giores vaha shvuya vaha shivcha. So if one was ma'anis, any of these individuals, now we're leaving the grouping of psulim. The first grouping was psulim. Now we're moving on to other situations of one may think they're not psulos. in order for one to pay the knas of the ma'anis, it has to be where she's a basula. So now the Gemara Mishnah again says, Hagioris hashvuya hashifcha, a woman who converted, a woman who was captured, a woman who was a shifcha, shiniftu, that was either redeemed, shinisgairu, or converted, or shinishtachru, or was freed, plusus mi b'no shlosha yam shanim v'yom echad, under the age of three. We always assume if any woman who was either captured or non-Jewish, we assume they're not basulos. But if they were under the age of three, even though we assume they already were no longer basulos, the dam basulim is going to come back if it was under the age of three. So they're also subject to receiving a kenas. Right, Rashi says that, you see, Rashi al shvuya. Rashi writes, Yisraelis sheniftes b'chus mi'bashlosh shasharim. She was redeemed from captivity under the age of three. The b'cheskas b'sulahi, she still holds the status of being b'sula. Why? Shafilu nivola b'shivya, even though she was violated, b'sulah chozim. The b'sulahs will return if it happened under the age of three. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, another grouping is, habal choso, someone who's ma'anis, his sister, al achos aviv, his aunt, achos imo, his aunt from his mother's side, al achos ishto, his wife's sister, al ishis achiv, his brother's wife, al ishis achi aviv, his uncle's wife, al hanida, yeshlam kanas, all the situations there's kanas, af of pishain behe karis, even though you get karis for all those I mentioned, ein ben mises bezdin. So basically Rashi is referring to Rashi, or the Mishnah rather, is telling us there's a concept which we have to know very well, Kim Lev the Rabbi Minei. That's what this whole parak. If you want to learn Kim Lev the Rabbi Minei, this is the parak to learn it. It's of course scattered throughout Chas as well, but this is the Ikar place. So Kim Lev the Rabbi Minei means the following, that when a person violates an Avera, one Mice Avera, and there are two punishments that he's going to get, one's Misa and one's Mammon, the Misa trumps the Mammon. You get Misa, you get the greater punishment. Kim Lev the Rabbi Minei, you get the greater punishment, you don't get the lesser punishment. But it's only true if there's a Mises Bezdin, the Mishnah tells us. But when it's a Kares involved, like Nida's Kares, sisters, all these things are Kares, the Kares is not going to trump the punishment of Knas. Okay, so hopefully as we go through the parak, we're going to go through a lot of the alumnus involved, why this is, just throw one thing out for you guys to think about Kim Lev the Rabbi Minei, the most basic hakira is, when you get the greater punishment, do you view that as if you got the lower punishment as well, or one's completely exempt from the lower punishment? So there's a Ramban at the beginning, Makos, who says that once you get the greater punishment, it's as if you're getting both punishments in one full swoop. Ah, you didn't pay money? In economy, somehow it's included. Others say, no, you're only getting the greater punishment. The lesser punishment is not as if you're getting that lower punishment. That's one hakir that's thrown out there.
On the previous paragraph, when it says, shenifduven, shenitgaruven, shenishtachreru, that's going on a shifcha, because it doesn't make any sense.
No, it's going on each one individually. Gyores, it's out of order, but it's gyores, shenizgaru, shvuya, sheniftu, and shifcha, shenishtachreru. Yeah, but it's interesting that it's the wrong order, though.
Right.
Like it explains your order?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That says Gioris first, but then in the verbs, Gioris is number two?
So
what's the reason?
If I would remember, I'd tell you, but I read
it. I saw in the Mishnah, yeah? Okay.
I'll tell you later.
Okay, so the Gemara says now, okay, let's begin the Gemara. Hani na'aros psulos islu knas shares lo. That's Rashi already foreshadowed for us the question of the Gemara, that these na'aros who are pasul, only they get knas if they're raped, but if a woman who's a kshera, she wouldn't get a knas? Gemara says, no, hachi kamar. Elu na'aros psulos sheish lom knas. The following are women who are psulos that are going to get knas, but ein echanami, na'aros ksheras will also get knas. So what are the na'aros psulos that get knas? The Gemara continues to quote, Ahabala mamzeres halanisina v'halkusis. That's how we read and understand the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, Nara in Ketana lo. The Mishnah quotes Eilu Naros, implies that a Ketana under the age of 11 and a half does not receive a Knas. Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rebbe Meir, he. The Sanya, Ketana Mibas, Rebbe Meir holds the following, that Ketana Mibas Yom Echad V'ad Shetavi Shtei Saros, a girl from the day she's born until she reached Shtei Saros, which we're assuming is 11 and a half, Yeshla Mechar V'ein Lem Knas. They can be sold as an Am Ivriya, right? We have an Evid Ivri and an Am Ivriya. Evid Ivri can be sold that he's the man who sold, a Jewish boy. An Am Ivriya is a girl, a Jewish girl who sold. So from the age of the day she's born until 11 and a half, she can be sold, but ain't la knas, but there's no knas for under the age of 11 and a half. However, Misha Tavi Shtei Saros, when she has Shtei Saros at the age of 11 and a half, Ad Shetibagir, for those 6 months, Yeshlam Knas, there is Knas, but Ein Lehem Mecha, she cannot be sold after 11 and a half. Divrei Rabbi Meir, That's right, Meir, Shehaya Rabbi Meir Omer, he had the following rule. Kol makom sheish mecher ein knas, kol makom sheish knas ein mecher. It worked inversely. Whenever you could sell under the age of 11 and a half, you don't get the penalty. Whenever you get the knas, you're not able to sell. So he's the author of our Mishnah who holds...
There's no relationship one with the other one. Right? I mean the fact that this guy was on as his daughter and he can sell...
Correct. I don't think he's saying there's a connection. It just happens to be the rule.
Yeah.
It's just a way to remember.
So the other guy gets away with it.
The guy gets away with it under the age of 11 and a half, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, again, under the age of 11 and a half, there is no Knas, so he authored our Mishnah. The Gemara says now, according to the Chachamim, who argue, though, Omrim, and this is how he paskin, it seems, K'tana mi bashlo shanim v'yomechad v'ad shetibagar yesh leknas. No, from the age of 3 years old until 12, there's Knas. Yesh lem Knas in mechalo. It seems from the discussion of Rabbi Meir, they only get a Knas. But does this imply that you can't sell a girl under the age of 11 and a half? That's the whole parsha of Amar Ivriya, that you could sell a girl under the age of 12. So Gemara says, no, Ema, we should say, the opinion of Chachamim is, Ema, af, knas, b'mokom mecher. That she could even though she could be sold under the age of 11 and a half, from 3 to 11 and a half, there's also going to be knas if she's violated, she's raped, under that age, during that same age. Exactly. Now, again, right, not to get confused, I don't think Rameer means there's a direct correlation between the two. Right, he just says once, and just a nice way to say it, it's a good way to remember. Oftentimes, they have very poetic statements in the Gemaras and Mishnahs to help us remember things better.
But he's not arguing, the Chum's not arguing on the 11 and a half to 12-year-old that she has mecher. See?
He agrees from 3 to 12 you could sell, I imagine. 3 to 11 and a half you could 12, I mean. 3 to 11 and a half you could sell. No, is that what he's saying? Rashi is af knas b'mokom mecher, u'mishim knas naked ba shalosh. Aval mecher mi baz yom echad ba shatavish sheisaros. From the day she's born, you can already sell her. Does Rabbi Meir hold that also?
He said ad shatavish sheisaros.
Adam's question is, Rabbi Meir said that in Ne'ara does in la mecher because she gets yeshta knas. So he's asking, according to Chachamim, that she has knas even from 3 and a half, would she still have mecher when she's in the ara?
Like, right, between 11 and a half and 12. Right. Do they argue on both points or
right,
just one or point about the knas?
Right.
I say that again, that no, according to...
There's two points that Rabbi Meir is making. One is that before 11 and a half, there's no knas. And the second one was between 11 and a half and 12, there's no mecher.
I see. So Rashi doesn't address the 11 and a half point. But he does say, what he's saying there, that you could sell her already from day one, which seemingly Rabbi Meir would agree to as well. So they both agree you could sell her from day one. The question is, at the end, does it stop at 11 and a half? Rabbi Meir stops at 11 and a half. Does Chacham go further?
Right. Meaning, let's say she's 11 and a half. But can the father sell her according to the Chacham?
What's
the halim with that can only sell her until it's in the ara?
Right, so I assume that they have to agree to that. If you look at Rashi, Rashi, the previous page, Ein la mecher, five lines up, he writes, Ein la mecher, k'detan the gemara erchin, yachu yimchor adam es bito k'shi nara, when she's 11 and a half, you might think it's a good sale. Amris kavachomer, mechua kvar yotze, the halach is that if she's already sold, let's say she's sold at the age of 3. When she reaches the age of Naira, Naira is one of the ways out, the Gemara said. The Pasuk says she gets freed by the age of 11 and a half. So she's sold and is freed at 11 and a half. So then, Kavachomer, Ach Shavshenu Mechura, Eno Din Shalom Timacher, if she wouldn't...
That's a Russian commercial.
Yeah, so Rashi quoting Gemara in Erchin. So, that being the case, it seems that Chama would agree to the 11 and a half age limit. That's a Mefurish Pasuk. What's the Pasuk again that says... I think it's just a kavachomer, I forget. Okay. V'yatzachinim, is it? V'yatzachinim in Kesef? Is that what you learned? But she's the age of a Nara, that's when she leaves, I think. Okay. So, the Gemara now says...
Because I think the Chumash specifically doesn't say age, but it says...
I think it's V'yatzachinim in Kesef.
Yeah, but I think it mentions that...
The Chumash?
The puzzle doesn't say Shtei Saros.
So
it says Adon, La Adon or something, and they say Yesh Adon, Sheyesh Lam Knas, or something like that.
But the puzzle, what is the puzzle described? What is Beyatzachinam in Kasef?
It's talking about right in the beginning of Parsha Mishpatim,
Right.
about if she gets freed, there's no money involved. I don't remember. I don't know how pasuk by heart. Okay. So the Gemara now asks the top of Chav Tesman Beis, top line, Honey Bnei Knasa Ninhu. Are these individuals, the psulos, the mamzeris, the nesin lakusis, are they really subject to receiving knas, or at least their fathers receiving knas? Vamai, ikri kan velo sieli isha. So the pasuk talks about the onus, that the money goes to the father. The pasuk also says, lo tieli isha, that he has to be a husband, or she has to be a wife to him. She has to be a wife to him. So only isha haru'ilo, only someone who they're allowed to stay married to. But a person is not allowed to stay married to mamzeris. A person can't stay married to a nesina or a kusis. So you, if you're not being mekayin the din of lo sieli isha, so you should be a wife to him, so you shouldn't be mekayin the din of a knas either. Why these individuals, at least, or the fathers, receiving knas in these cases? So Amarish Lakish, Rish Lakish explains, Nara, Nara, Hanara. There are three times it says Nara. Rabbi Nachmanel thinks it's referring to this one word. We make a drash of Nara, Hanara. Tosas argues, says, no, it says Nara three different times. So what do three different appearances tell us? Chalagufe, one is usually need for the pasuk itself to talk about Nara. One is Chal Suya Chayvi Lavin, to include if there's an Isra Lav with the woman herself, if she's Asr Midin Lav. And Chala Suya Chavi Krisis, and one to say if she's even a more severe type of Avera, which is Krisis, that too is going to be subject to receiving a Knas. So that explains. Sorry?
Example of Chavi
Lavin. A Nida.
Nida is not correct.
Nida is, oh, I'm sorry, Lavin, you said, I'm sorry. A Lavin would be a Mamzer. Right?
Mamzer.
Mamzer, exactly.
Or a Kohen. Or a Kohen with a.
Kohen and Grusha.
Yeah.
And a Sina Lashate Man, yeah. Okay, so then the Gemara says, "Our papa Amar Basula Basulos Habasulos." He says it says a Basula three times. Here too, the same thing. Machlokas, whether it's one word or saying Basula Basulos Habasulos, or it's three different instances we find this word. So Chalugufay, one for the word itself. You need for the just the pasuk to read Chalasu Yichayv Lavin, one to include Chayv Lavin, Vchalasu Yichayv Krisus. So same idea as Reish Lakish, but two different sources. As asks Gemara, Rapapa, my time alone with Reish Lakish. Why didn't Rapapa use the word Hanaro, Nara, like Reish Lakish? So says the Gemara, Hahumi Baile, that word of Nara, according to Rapapa, is used for the following drasha. Mi Baile lichidebai, de Amar Baye ba aleha umesa. If he's ba on her and she dies, pater, he doesn't have to pay the father. Shenemar venosun laavi Hanara, laavi Hanara, lo laavi mesa. So if he rapes her and he dies, she dies. So, you know. One would imagine, but that she, he, in that case, he's not penalized to pay the knas. One would think that doesn't make sense. It's not fair at all. He kills her at the same time. The answer probably is that he doesn't deserve kapara. Sometimes a person doesn't deserve kapara, and that's the situation here.
Well, that's the punishment that you said, the rule. How do you call it in Aramaic?
Kim Levi Bidrabi Mine. This is it. Well, he's not getting misa here.
Anyway.
I'm saying if we don't know if he actually killed her. We don't know if he actually killed her, though. She may have just died also.
It's assumed that he killed her.
If you've assumed that way, I understand. But if it's a situation, I guess maybe he just died. If she died, nothing to do with this situation, that she got sick.
How do you call it?
Kimle.
Kimle.
Bidiraba Mine. Four words.
Bidiraba Mine.
Kimle. Bidiraba, the greater one. Other, some, by the way, sometimes it's pronounced as Kumle Bidiraba Mine. Sometimes you find the more Kumle.
Kimle Bidiraba Mine. Kimle.
My Rebbe used to always say, Kum Leib the Rabbi Mineh, because oftentimes it appears as Kuf ma Mem in the Gemara, we'll see. Kum Leib the Rabbi Mineh. Kim Leib the Rabbi Mineh.
Rabbi Arzbrow says, oh, he doesn't say Kum Leib.
He says Kum Leib, yeah? Oftentimes it's pronounced in the yeshivas, I think, as Kim Leib.
Yeah, in the yeshivas they say Kim Leib.
It may not be right, though, but. Okay. So anyways, that's why Rapapa doesn't use the word Nara like Reish Lakish, because Nara is used to teach us only when she's alive do you pay the father, as opposed to when she's dead. Nasan la'aviha Nara, when she's a Nara, you pay her, but not when she's a Mesa. So what about Reish Lakish? Why doesn't Reish Lakish my time alo'amak Rapapa? Why doesn't he use the word Basulos like Rapapa? Haomi Barley, that's needed for another drasha, L'gzera Shava. What's L'gzera Shava? The Sanya, the Brisa tells us. Kesev Yishkol Kimor Basulos. So what's the amount that you pay? So we have two different cases. One is Nara Murasa and one is Mufuta. Yeah.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
According to Rav Papa, there's still, they're using one, but there's still an extra one.
Stealing one? Why?
There were three Naras. Once he doesn't use it, was it that, was it, why he doesn't use it one ne'ara for that, then he still has one and one left.
Ah, I see.
Or it doesn't work that way.
No, it does. I think you're right. The Gemara is not going to address that point exactly. The Gemara is going to end up using something else which will answer the question, but they at this Havmina, that's a good question. Very good question.
What was the question?
Rav Papa uses Basulos.
Yeah.
So what does he do with Reish Lakish's three Naros?
Okay.
So he uses Naros to teach us whatever the drush we had. But that's only to teach us one of the Naros. What does he do with the third Naro? One Naro is used for the Pashup Shop. One Naro is to use the drush he just created. What about the third Naro? That the Gemara doesn't address.
In regards to Rav Papa?
Yeah.
Why needs to...
Because it's extra.
To what Reish Lakish
because
says.
It's an extra word in the Torah.
Or maybe since there is no three, there is no limud anymore.
There's no three. No, but there are three times.
No, I'm saying once he's only one free only, maybe he doesn't use it. He has no limit from it.
But it says Naros three times. So one is for the Pasuk, one is to make that drasha.
But maybe he holds that if there's only one free, he doesn't have a drasha.
Why not?
I don't know.
So I think it's a good question.
Let's
see.
Reish Lakish says one to Lavin and one to Kritot and one to Pasuk. No?
Say that again?
Reish Lakish says one to Chazelav,
right.
One to Kritot, and one for the Pasuk itself.
Right, but that Rav Papa used that same drasha for the words Basulos.
So
three Basulos.
Mitulot.
Yeah, but now what does Papa do with the extra Naros, though? His three Naros to work with also.
Why expand only two Betulot?
No, Basulos, he has one Basulos for the Pasuk, one Basulos for the...
Betulot and Vahabtulot.
Right, so again, one Basula for Rav Papa is for the Pasuk,
yeah.
One Basula is for Chai V'Lavin, one Basula is for Krisos.
Okay.
Now, there are three Naros in the Pasuk elsewhere. What does he do with three Naros?
Okay.
One's for the Pasuk,
oh,
one's for the Drasha, and the third one, we don't know. That's open. That's what Ricky's asking.
Okay,
so the Gemara says, so now, what is Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish, who uses the words Naros, what does he do with the word Basulos? So we have two different parshas here. One's the case of the Ones, and one's the case of Mefate. One's onus, one's mefate. So it says in one place, let's read the Gemara now, the Tanya, Kesef Yishkol b'mohar besulos, that you should pay the shekel like the mohar, like the ksuba. Mohar is the lashon of ksuba to the mohar of the ksubas. So this is the pasuk that talks about the onus. This is the pasuk that tells us about the mefate. Right? This is mefate. Mefate doesn't mention how much you pay. It just says, pay like mohar besulos. Sheyehei the Gemara darshins, sheyehei zeh, Kemar Basulos. The amount that you pay the Mufate is however much more Basulos are. What's that? Umar Basulos says the Gemara is Kazeh should be like this one. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi clarifies things. Rashi says, let's go to Mibai Lele Gzer Shava. You need Basulos for Gzer Shava according to Reish Lakish. Basulo dechsiv gavi Mufate, Mibai Lele Gzer Shava, Basulo, Basulo, Gzer Shava. Ma kesef ha'amur be'ones, the amount of money mentioned by an ones mechamishim, it's 50, af mefate chamishim, because it doesn't say any amount by mefate, we have a gzer sheva. Uma mefate shkalim, and just like mefate that says the word shkalim or yishkol, tichseh be'yishkol, af chamishim shel ones shkalim kamar. So by ones we have the word 50, the number 50. We don't know what currency to use. By mefate we have the currency, shkalim, we don't know what amount. We combine the two together through the gzer sheva, kesef, we have chamishim shkalim, applies to both ones. Umifate. That's the need for the Basulos, the Gzer Shava, according to Reish Lakish. So asks the Gemara now, Reish Lakish, Nami Mibarle Lechadabai. So Reish Lakish, you use the word Naros to teach me about Chai V'Lavin, to teach me about Krisos. So doesn't he also need to make the drush of Abaye to learn out Avi Hanara of Alo Avi Hames? How does Reish Lakish learn that concept? He uses Naros for something else. And moreover, Rav Papa, Nami Mibarle Lechadzer Shava. Rav Papa uses all three Basulos to teach us about Chai V'Lavin and Chai V'Krisos. How does he know the Gzer Shava of 50 Shkalim, both for Nara, both for Onus and Mefate? So the Gemara, in light of those questions, and perhaps even Ricky's question, what about the extra Nara for Reish Lakish and the extra Nara for Rav Papa and the extra Basula for Reish Lakish? A lot going on here. So El Gemara clarifies, Shisa Krai Ksivi. There are six extra words to work with here. Nara, Nara, Ahanara. Basula, Basulas, Basulas. Six words now. Everyone's on the same page. Tre legufe, two of the words, one Naira, one Basula is for the Pasuk itself. Chad, one of the Naira is Lichadabai, to teach me that Avi Naira of Lo Avi Hames, Mesa. Chad, one of the Basulas is Ligzer Shava, to teach me Chamishim Shkam. Aisrilo Trey. Now we have two extra ones. Chala Sui Chavi Lav and Chala Sui Chavi Krisos. And therefore everyone's on the same page.
Six.
Yeah. Gemara says this is all Lafuke Mehai Tana. This is all coming to the exclusion of the following Tana. The Sanya Lo Siela Isha. That she should be a wife to him. So Shimon HaTimani Omer, what does that mean? Isha Shiesh Bahavaya has to be a woman who has marriage, that they can get married. And Rabbi Shimon ben Nasya Omer, Isha Harui Lekaima, has to be a woman who's allowed to stay married to. I mean, we'll see, what's a nafkamina? If you could get married to her, can you stay married to her? What does that mean? Either, what's Rabbi Shimon Tamani arguing on Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh? So Gemara says, Ma'i b'nayu, Amar Rabbi Yezera, Mamzeres v'nesini ik b'nayu. This is the machlokas. Why? Liman damar yesh b'havaya, the one who says that you need to have losel isha means it has to be a marriage that's chal, v'hanami yesh b'havaya. If a man marries Mamzeres, a man marries a Nesina, it's chal, the kedushin's chal. It works. Even though we tell him to get divorced, it's a good havaya, it's a good kedushin. But Laman Damar, the one who holds Ru'i L'Kaima, you have to be able to stay continued married to them, Ha'inu Ru'i L'Kaima. You're not allowed to stay married to Mamzeres and Nesina. So the Gemara tells us that our opinion who holds that a Mamzeres and Nesina subject to Knas has to be holding like the opinion that's all Taloi on Havaya, that there's a Chalos Kedushim. But the Man Damar who holds that you have to stay married to her, Lo Silisha means you have to stay married, allowed to stay married to her, then since you can't stay married to Mamzeres, you can't stay married to Nesina, there would be no Knas by those individuals. Okay. We're good? I think so.
But he cannot stay married to anybody.
He can stay married to a regular woman.
But,
so.
Not, but to a sister also not.
Yeah, in Echanami. So the question is why those cases will there be Knas? There's not even a Chalos. Kedushin. Kedushin doesn't even work. These opinions would think there wouldn't even be, both opinions would think there should be no Knas by a sister.
So according to Rabbi Shimon Temani that it says Havaya, according to Rabbi Shimon Menasya, he would hold that it would be okay.
I think we're going to get to this. I'm not sure if today, but we're going to address the situations of the sister and the nida, why there's a kanas. Now, the Gemara takes a step further and quotes the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which we know well now from the Gemara's Nivamos. The Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'chai B'lavim. Rabbi Akiva goes against everybody else, and he holds that even by a lav, a kohen and a grusha, kohen gadol and amana, these situations, and mamzeres, even though there's only a lav, he still holds the kedusha is in chal. So in the world of Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'chavi Lavin, my B'nai, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon ben HaTeimani and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya? Because again, he holds by Nesina Mamzeres there won't be any Kedushin. So everyone would agree that there would not be a Knas. So my B'nai, Ikbenai, Almana L'Kohen Gadol K'Rabbi Simai. A Amman T'Kohen Gadol who holds within the world of Rabbi Simai, the Tanya Rabbi Simai Omer, Min HaKol Oser Rabbi Akiva Mamzerin, Chutz Me'aman L'Kohen Gadol. Shereit Amr Torah lo yikach lo yichalal chilulin hu osavein osin mamzer. A special gzeres because of that. Although in general Rabbi Kiva holds by any lav there's no kedushin, and also any lav children will be considered mamzer. There's just one exception by Amon l'kohen gadol, even though there's a lav, because there's a mefurish pasuk that says lo yikach lo yichalal. A kohen gadol shouldn't marry an amana, and he shouldn't desecrate it, because if he does, he's mechalel. She becomes a chalala. But not the children. The children are not mamzerim. So according to this understanding of Rabbi Akiva, this would be the nafkamina between the two. That the kedushin seemingly would be chal, even though they wouldn't be able to stay married. Let's see for a second. Okay. It seems like an interesting toast on the bottom here, but we're not going to go to it. Okay, now the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, or Rabbi Yashvav, Damar, according to him, who holds, Bo benatzuach al Akiva ben Yosef, let's go conquer, let's defeat him in this debate. Shaya Omer, kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael, hava mamzer. So he said, no, anytime there's an Isser bia, then the child will be a mamzer.
Even Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, well, Rabbi Kiva there was unclear how far Rabbi Kiva is willing to go. So now there's machlokas, we're seeing what the extreme case is. So maybe he draws a line by an almana le kohen gadol, as we just saw there. He draws a line, and the child from an almana and kohen gadol will not be a mamzer. But Rabbi Yashua takes it a step further. Says no. Rabbi Kiva says across the board that even by whenever there's an iser bir, even by an almana and kohen gadol, the children will be a mamzer. Yeah. So according to this opinion, my benai, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh and Rabbi Shimon HaTimani?
It seems that Rabbi Sheva is coming to prove wrong Rabbi Akiva.
Right, but in doing that, how he holds
him. No, I agree. Yeah, but the whole he's saying shehu marbim. She says she'ein dvarim nechonim shehu marbim amzerim b'Israel shelo kedin, meaning that he's trying to disprove Rabbi Akiva because you know. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva making everybody mamzerim.
Right, two mamzerim. But as you said, in his rejection,
it's still proving. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm saying it's interesting.
So in Rabbi Shavev's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, every single lav will generate a mamzer. So a kohen gadol and almana, which is a lav as well, will not be subject to. We'll create mamzerim, and it can't be an achmina.
If he's coming to say, if you hold a Rabbi Akiva, you should say also that a mamzer that a kohen gadol to a grusha. Is also a mamzer. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
To an almana, yes.
So what's an afkamina according to Rabbi Yishaviv? So my binayu, ikka binayu, chai ve'asei mitzri v'adome. In a situation where there's no lav at all, there's only an isra asei, as Rashi tells us on the top of Lamed and Aleph. Chai ve'asei mitzri v'adome b'soch shlosha doros, within the first three generations, d'chsev dor shlishi avolehem dor sheni lo, v'av haba mechlal asei. So the Torah tells us that the dor shlishi is allowed to marry of these nations. The implication is you can't marry from the second generation and up. The first and second generations may not be married. But it never tells you a lav in the Torah. It's an asay. You may actively marry a third generation. We infer you cannot marry a second generation. So a lav, which is derived from a asay, is considered an asay. So that's a situation where there's a nafkamina. Because according to one opinion that says you're allowed to, the marriage is chal, well, the marriage is chal here. But the other opinion says you can't stay married to such an individual, so there, that would create that would be no knas.
But it's still midiraisa.
It's still
just an ase midiraisa that turns into a lota ase midiraisa?
No, it's an ase that still stays an ase. It's an ase, since the lav is only learned out from the ase formulation, it says marry a third generation.
So
there's an isra ase.
What technicalities to that, when a person gets married, what is that?
He violates an isra ase. You're only allowed to marry a third generation, and you married a second generation. So you violated marrying a third generation.
Is that considered an assay?
Yeah, that's the Torah.
Then everybody who doesn't marry a third generation is also over an assay.
No, because it has to be anyone who marries a...
none of us marry.
Right, but that's not the implication. No, that's not the implication we would make from...
So I'm trying to understand the concept.
Whenever the Torah formulates it, this is mutter, and you have a clear indication of something else is going to be usher, then
it's still considered an asay.
Halav
above michlal. Even though you're doing something wrong, you're still considered over an asay.
Because the only time a son could be considered lo asay is if the Torah formulates it as a negative commandment.
Right.
Lav, or it says pen, hishamer, other words can be used. But if it's formulated as an asay, we cannot create a lo asay if the Torah doesn't formulate it as a lo asay. The best we could do is it's an asay.
Right. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. So the Gemara quotes this oftentimes, so that's what it means. Halav, habam lechal, asay lav, that's derived from an asay formulation, still retains the status of being an asay. So in this case, even Rabbi Kiva would agree, it would not generate a mamzer. So you can, the marriage is chal, but you're not allowed to say married because there's a constant iser asay that's being violated. Okay, may as well go ahead, right? That's what we said we'll do. Says the Gemara, hanichal Rabbi Yishavev, this all makes sense according to Rabbi Yishavev. So it makes sense if let's look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Hanicha, I Rabbi Yishavev hai, kol shein lohet debiya dekamar alibu de Rekiva. That's what she says, that any time there's an isabiyah, Rabbi Kiva thinks there's mamzer. La mechlala kail, ela la fukei mi Rabbi Simai lechudei asa. All he's coming to do is to exclude Rabbi Simai's opinion, who draw the line by Almana and the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yishavev says, no, take it a step further. You should even include Almana and the Kohen Gadol. V'chayvi lavin hu, the polig, la'asufi chayvi lavin bekuna, aval shum chayvi asi la'osif. This all makes sense if Rabbi Yishavev just draws the line a little bit further, he pulls it just one step further to include a lav. But ella yitayma denaf shei kamar, if he's saying his own reasoning, independent of anybody else, not responding to anybody else, then... So when you look at the statement independently, says anytime there's a bia is not permitted, it's going to generate mamzer. Well, bia is not permitted by a mitzvah either. So then he would even seem to include a chayvi ase should generate a mamzer as well. So again, it's Rabbi Shavi responding to Rabbi Simai and just including Almana Kohen Gadol, or he's independent and including every time there's some level of an iser bia. And according to that next stage, we include even chiv aseh. So what becomes my benai? What's the nafkamina? Yikibenayu beula lekoyin gadol. Beula lekoyin gadol is a iser aseh. So Gemara says, so why is that not included in iser bia? My shana the havelay. So what's the difference? The havelay aseh shena shava b'chol. Since it's an iser that only applies to one person, there's only one person in the entire world, the Kohen Gadol, that has this aseh, therefore it's less severe, and Rabbi Kiva would think that this would not generate a mamzer.
And so why did we I don't have clear the, it says, according to Rabbi Yosheva is okay to take out the havemina that the difference is between with the Kohen Gadol to an almana, right?
Say that again. Yeah, the progression is as follows. We have, let's go back even further to Krisus.
Right.
Chiv Krisus. Rabbi Kiva says even Chavi Lavin.
Correct.
Rabbi Shaviv says even almana l'kohen gadol, even though it's a.
Well, Rabbi Shaviv says if you're saying that already, you already say that almana to a kohen gadol.
Exactly. Okay. And then the word says, well, even within Rabbi Shaviv, does it really draw a line after almana l'kohen gadol? Maybe even includes Chiv Aseh.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
In other words, is he responding to the right extension of Rabbi Simai onto Rabbi Kiva, or is he just talking out of the blue, saying, any bia?
Oh, when it says l'nafshe, meaning to Rabbi Shaviv himself, that he would even himself hold that.
No, it means, was there a conversation where they are sitting in the room, and Rabbi Simai says, Amar l'kohen gadol is mutter, because the pasuk says, lo yikach, lo yichalel, there, right. It doesn't create mamzer.
We don't know for a fact what Rabbi Akiva holds on that.
Right, exactly. We don't know.
Okay.
So were they sitting in the same room and Rabbi Yishavi says, no, anytime there's an Isser Bia, it creates a mamzer. So is he responding to Rabbi Simai and saying, in other words, Amar l'kohen gadol will also generate a mamzer? But
right.
That's where you draw a line, right there, because
right.
He was responding to the Amar l'kohen gadol. Or Rabbi Yishavi was sitting in his own room. And he's mechadish his din. Whenever there's an Isser Bia, it creates a mamzer. It's across the board, not responding to anybody, which would include even a chiv aseh of mitzvah nadomi, that would also be included. He's not responding to Rabbi Simai, he's just saying a statement.
Right.
Isser bia means isser mamzer, creates a mamzer.
But it doesn't make sense because the, his whole, you know, the Amar bo venitzvach al Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. So he's just being almost sarcastic on the whole havemina.
But he's not necessarily responding. He's trying to understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion. He has a certain assumption what Rabbi Kiva holds, and it's more expansive than anybody else. The question, how expansive is it? So if he's responding to Rabbi Simai, he's going down that line, so he's going to just, his statement, even though his statement is so dramatic, he really is only responding to that very narrow case
right.
Of Almana L'kohen Gadol. But if it's Minafshe Kamar speaking on his own, then it's extremely, completely expansive, and would include even Nechiv Aseh Mitzvah Vadomi. So according to this understanding, what's the nafkamina? So Gemara says, maybe the nafkamina would be Be'ula Kohen Gadol, which is a very limited assay to just the Kohen Gadol. So since it's so limited and narrow, maybe there it would not create a mamzer, even according to Rabbi Yishave's understanding of Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, I think the fact he uses a lashon when he says, Nitzuach HaRei Kibin Yosef Shei Omer Kol, he says Kol there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're saying that even his opinion wouldn't go so far as to say something that's only to one person. Is called, it's got to be shuffled up.
Uh-huh, that's the Joshua. Where does it say that?
It doesn't say that. I'm
just uh-huh.
I'm making my own Joshua.
Joshua's in Rabbi Yishavev. Okay, that makes sense. Maybe that's what it means. Does Rashi indicate that?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So it's shuffled up cold.
Right. The fact that it says kol shein of the Israel shebiat isha zu asura lo afil al mana lekohen uba alea havlat.
Okay, beautiful. All right. Put it in the safer. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chisda, Hakol, Modim, we're like six lines down. Amar Rav Chisda.
No,
we skipped?
I'll
read again. Maishna. So why is Bula Kohen Gadol? It's also an assay. Why is that more lenient than the assay of Mitzvah Adomi?
Right.
Gemara says, Dehavili assay, Sheinu Shava B'Kol. Since the Aseh of Be'ulah L'Kohen Gadol is limited only to Kohen Gadol, since it's not kol as Adam suggested, it's not going to be as severe. And according to Rabbi Kiva, he would agree in this case, it would not generate a mamzer.
So, and why can't you say something with Kohen Gadol to not marry?
Because that's a lav. This is in the world of an Aseh. There's an Aseh to marry a Besula.
So it's an Aseh and it's not general.
Right,
it's
exactly. Right. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Moldim, everybody's in agreement. Beba al Hanida, Shemeshalim Kenas. Sorry?
Okay.
So Rav Chista is now telling us that everyone's in agreement that Beba al Hanida, Shemeshalim Kenas. If a person is Ba al Hanida, he's going to pay the penalty anyways, even though there is an Isser Karis as well. So explains the Gemara, Laman Namar Yish B'Havaya, Hanami Yish B'Havaya. The one who says you have to have the marriage, Lo Siyah L'Isha, so there's also marriage by Anida as well. Rashi explains here, Hanami Yish B'Havaya, HaMekadish Isha B'Mei Nidusa Mikudashis. It works. There's a sugya that appears in the first parak of Ksubas, also in Yivamos, it comes out about Chubas Nida, Mechokis Ra and Ramam, how that works exactly. But either way, Kedushin is Chal when a woman's in the state of being Nida. So that makes sense according to that pin. With the man number Rui Lakaima, Hanami Rui Lakaima, you're also allowed to stay married to her as well. You don't force her to get divorced if she was married, if she was in Nida at the time. So everyone's in agreement. Both Rabbi Shimon Menasi and Rabbi Shimon Hatimani both agree that there's going to be Kenas by an Isha's Nida. So then the Gemara says, Lafuke, this all comes to exclude Midrabi Chanut Nechunya Ben Akana. The Tanya Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana, Haya Oses Yom HaKippurim Kishabes Litashun. He equated Yom Kippur to that of Shabbos with respect to payment, meaning Ma Shabbos Mischai Benafsho Patim Minat Tashlumim, Afi Ma Kippurim Mischai Benafsho Patim Minat Tashlumim. In other words, if a person were to violate an Aveira on Shabbos, which would at the same time generate a Chiyuv Shabbos and a Chiyuv money, Mamon, he's Patim from paying. So I think Rashi gives an example here. Rashi says, Es Yom HaShabbos Ki, Es Yom HaKippurim Ki Shabbos, it's around 10 narrow lines up, Liftor ha-madlik es ha-gdish b'yom ha-kippurim, to exempt the person who burnt a kilu hidliku b'Shabbos. If I went into Adam's backyard, chach v'shalom on Shabbos, and burnt his stack of hay, so I violated two things. I violated Shabbos, havar on Shabbos. I also violated, ruined his property, I damaged his property. So on Shabbos, since I'm chayiv misa, skila, I'm puter from paying for his gdish. So Rabbi Nechunah ben Akanya has his chiddush that also applies to Yom Kippur. Even though Yom Kippur there's no chiv mises bezin, there's only chiv karis, there's still the karis is going to exempt because of Kimei with the Rabbi Nei, the Teshumim as well.
So he's comparing this to...
So we're going to get there in a second, how this compares to karis. But we'll say it now, I guess. Since Isha's bekaris, so that karis is going to exempt the Ptur Knas, the Knas.
Right.
That's what he's trying to say. This excludes the opinion of Rabbi Nechunah ben Akana. He has this bechidush that even karis, even kimlei applies to karis. So what's the reasoning of Rabbi Nechunah ben Akana? In my time with Rabbi Nechunah, yeah, only by a chiyuv mises bezdin, according to most.
No, I'm trying to say on with the not with with the
nara
onus erva, right? Because the love is not chayav karis.
Love's not chayav karis.
Think so or not?
Which. No, by like a Grushin, a Kohen Hediot?
Yeah.
Correct, there's no Karis,
right.
By it. Exactly. Karis only exists for Arayos, right.
Right.
But other Arayos have Mises Bezdin also.
Some
so when there's a Mises Bezdin, then everyone's going to agree there's no Knas. Places when there's only a Karis involved, will the Karis exempt from Knas or not? Yeah? No? So what's the reasoning of my time with Rabbi Nechunah ben Akana? Amar Abai explains, Nemer Asun Bidei Adam, Nemer Asun Bidei Shemayim. So it has this pasuk, the word, Xer Shava, Ma Asun Hamor Bidei Adam, just like the Asun, the appearance of Asun, Rashi quotes the Pasuk on the side, rather. Where's his Pasuk?
Below you, Asun.
Ah. Right. The Pasuk, I read the whole Pasuk. It's the Chi Natu, and the Pasuk in Mishpatim. The Chi Natu Anashim, when two men are fighting, V'nag Fu Isha Hara, and the wife comes into play, and he hits her, and the Yatsa Yaladeha, and the child comes out, the stillborn, Lo Ye Asun. Anosh, and there's no death. Yanosh yenesh kasher yashes alav. You have to pay the value of the child. That's if there's no asum. But if there's asum, if the woman dies, so then the murderer doesn't have to pay for the child, the stillborn. So it says asum there. It says asum by that's bidei adam, and also says asum bidei shemayim. This is talking about a case of V'yomer lo yered, I'm reading the pasuk on the side here. V'yomer lo yered b'ni machem ki achim meis. Yaakov, Yaakov doesn't want Binyamin to go down. V'hu levado nishar ikro, sometime bad's going to happen to him. And that's a reference to something, you know, naturally bad's going to happen in Bidei Shemayim. So that's the gzer shava that we have. So the Gemara explains, ma asan ha'amur bidei adam patim min ha'tashlumim, af asan ha'amur bidei shemayim patim min ha'tashlumim. And that's the basis of Rabbi Nechunim ben Akarna's opinion. Keep going? Yeah, should we?
We have
fun.
Okay. Yeah,
we'd
go because tomorrow
it's going to be very beautiful. Well, marathon today. Maskevla Rav Ada Bar Abba. He asks, Mimai dechi kam mizar la Yaakov v'baneha al tsinim upachim di bidei shemayim, ninu? Dilma al aryeh v'ganva di bidei adam, ninu? So wait a second. The pasuk of Ason that we found, which we were interpreting initially to be about bidei shemayim, where Yaakov was concerned something's going to happen to Binyamin, some Ason, why do we assume the Ason there where he was referencing was referring to bidei shemayim, such as tsinim, pakold, and pachim? Why was that the assumption? Maybe he's talking about he was concerned of a lion, or robbers. Interesting that lions is considered bidei adam as opposed to bidei shemayim. But maybe it's his concern with bidei adam. And asan there also is referring to bidei adam situations, not bidei shemayim cases. Why is Ari referred to, why is asan that a...
Because anything that's, right, is it?
I think anything that's has
physical,
choice,
right?
To attack you or not.
Interesting.
So it's not Hashem didn't like send him to attack you.
It's against the Orach Chaim. Yosef, when they said that he was killed by an animal, that he thought he was a ben bechira. He wouldn't be killed, he'd only be killed by a ben bechira. But here wasn't, Yaakov was surprised here, he wasn't killed by a ben bechira, because that's in the, that's bidei shemayim. And the Zohar says, I think he quotes the Zohar, that you can't kill, an animal can't kill without it being ratzon gzeirim and shemayim on that person. It doesn't have bechira like a person.
Interesting. So this is against the Gemara here.
Yeah.
Okay. I would imagine that animals are sent out because of, not because of their own choice. They have obviously a certain amount of choice, but a certain amount of instinct.
It sounds like it's 100% opposite.
It's just like maras over it. If surely za'er merayot b'ganavim u'minizkehem v'lechen nechshavim ke'ones bidei adam.
Since you can protect yourself from them. I mean, even though, if it's cold and heat, also you could protect yourself.
Whenever, whatever you do, it's going to come anyway. But the others, he could.
Maybe it doesn't mean external cold and heat. It means like an internal some virus or something that takes hold in.
What it's saying down here is that, based on Shittim the Kubetas, that Aryeh is not considered bidei adam, but it's also not considered bidei shemayim. It's somewhere in the middle. It seems to be an interesting discussion. Interesting sugya.
Kamuvan, ha-isur shel arayot eino bidei, ha-ason shel arayot eino bidei adam, ha-gmarav nakta ason bidei adam, biglal ganavim, aval ikar ha-kavana she-anusot eilu enam baim mishum shekach nigzar alav min ha-shamayim, ela baim al yedei pshiat adam u-biyado lizaher bahem.
Okay. Sounds like this is probably an interesting discussion, philosophical discussion, Hashkacha Pratis, Bechira. Okay, so the Gemara says, how do you know that his Asan that Rabbi, the Yaakovinu mentioned Asan was referring to Bidei Shemayim? Maybe it's Bidei Adam, like a lion, like a Ganavim. So the Gemara asks, Ati Yaakov, Aha Azir, Aha La Azir. He's only careful about one. He's only concerned with one of these types of categories, but not both categories. Of course, he was concerned with both of them. Yaakov, Akol Mila Azir. He was talking about all of them. But included in all of them was also Bidei Shemayim. So therefore, Ason does refer also to Bidei Shemayim as well as to Bidei Adam. Is this a good stopping point now?
It's not, but I think it keeps on going for a while. So I think we can stop.
Okay, fine. So Shem will pick this up tomorrow.
There's my focus in other places.